Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome again to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And just a reminder, you can check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And I do want to remind people, I mentioned again later on the program, you can find us, find the station here if you have trouble.com. It's always one way to do it, but as my wife reminded me, something I haven't mentioned lately, and that is there's an app. You can just do a search for AM 1220 The Word, which is our home station, WHK Radio here in Cleveland, Ohio, and you can download the app for your phone. I frequently listen to stuff on this station and the sister station and several other stations through their app on my cell phone. So let me encourage you to check that out. Just download the cell phone app, and you can listen that way very easily. So, well, again, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And with that, I'm going to go to Cheryl, who's been waiting for us patiently here. Cheryl, welcome to the program tonight. Hello, do we have Cheryl waiting for us there? Hello, Cheryl.
Oh, hello.
Hi, there we are. Got you connected. There we go.
Okay.
Yes.
No, I was hoping I didn't lose you, but one other time I know I didn't. But anyway, I wanted to mention it was really nice to hear Gus talking about so many things, and maybe at some point here you might want to kind of repeat his phone number. I know maybe it was just my phone, but if somebody was listening intently and wanting to give that information, I'm not sure it was totally clear to them. But I did want to say, you know, it's interesting that you think of, you know, what will attract people that could be like conversation starters.
Mm-hmm.
And one certainly is food.
Yes.
But the other one is dogs.
And that is true,
too. If you wanted to be sure that you could, like, walk into a place and start conversations, it would be, you know, probably one of those things would be a hit. But
well, I think if you had a box of pizza from East Coast Pizza and a dog at your side, I think you could get a lot of conversations.
Oh, you'd get just the time. Yeah, you sure would. So anyway, well, my question tonight is, and it's a big one and probably is worth a lot more, but anyway, people have, they often have this, you know, like a phrase, and they think it's going to mean the same thing to everybody, but it usually doesn't. And so I wondered if you might just talk about what you think a biblical worldview is.
Well, you're right. That is a big question. But the short answer to that, let me put it this way. And anybody that wears glasses, I wear glasses, and anybody who wears glasses can identify with this. Your glasses affect how you see the world around you, don't they? If I don't have my glasses on, the world around me is fuzzy and indistinct. When I put my glasses on, things come into focus. Now, I have clear lenses. If I had tinted lenses, let's say I had, you know, well, let's just say amber tint to them, that would affect the colors of the things that I see. Excuse me. If I had a rose tint, you know, people talk about looking through the world through rose-colored glasses, that would affect, if I had a blue tint, that would affect the colors that I see. So in that sense, anybody that wears glasses can understand how what you look at the world, the lens that you use to see the world, helps you to understand it and brings things into focus. We understand that. For people without glasses, you know, I guess one way to do it would be to, you ever see those They used to do it. I remember when I was kids, they would have these special glasses. There'd be like a red and a green thing on it. And you would look at something to see a secret message appear because it would screen out the other colors and you would see the thing. So the looking through that, or how about 3D movies? Remember you had to wear the 3D glasses?
Oh, yeah.
And similar things. So people can understand how what you look through affects your perception. And the Bible, if you look at the world through the Bible, it's going to affect how you perceive the world. And people say, well, I look at the world objectively, and I'm not under any false pretenses. I don't let anything affect my view. Yes, you do. That right there is affecting your view of the world, right there. If you view the world through the lens of atheism, if you view the world through the lens of Islam, if you view the world through the lens of materialism, whatever it is that you're looking at the world, it's going to affect how you see it. And so a biblical worldview should be something that you read the Bible, you believe the Bible, and you start to internalize the things that are in the Bible. And when you look at the world, you look at it through those biblical truths. For instance, let's take the abortion issue, for instance. Now, there's a lot of controversy in some sectors over that. But I look at it, and without getting into a whole lot of detail here, because I just want to touch on it, I understand that the Bible says that we're created in the image of God and that the unborn child is alive and is a human being. And when I understand that, and I also understand from the Bible that there's only limited means whereby God allows us to take the life of another human being, when I look at abortion, I have to say to myself, okay, viewed through the biblical worldview, this is a human life that's made in the image of God. What is the overwhelming reason why this human life should be ended? And if there is no overwhelming biblical reason, then obviously it's not moral. It's not something that God would endorse. In fact, the illicit taking of a human life is murder. And so abortion is murder based on my biblical worldview. How about the whole transgendered thing that we're going through right now? I read the Bible and it says God created them male and female. You know, I look at that and I say, I know what people say. And I know how fickle people are, and they say something now when they're young, and then they change their mind when they're older. And I look at it, and I say, you know what? The Bible says, what's the one guy from North Carolina? I've had a thought about this. There was a thing where he said, ain't but two genders, male and female. Well, that's the case. I also know biologically because of having a biology degree.
I have
a biology degree. I know scientifically that's the truth. But the Bible clearly says, ain't but two genders, male and female. And so therefore, when you look at all this transgendered stuff and people are trying to say, but if they feel, it doesn't matter what they feel. What matters is what the Bible says. Because what the Bible says is what God says. And so I have to view this whole thing of transgendered movement as, well, on one hand, nonsense. On another hand, more seriously, actual child abuse, especially when you're forcing it upon children who are too young to make a decision, where people who, according to the Bible, should be protecting and watching over children are actually mutilating their bodies and abusing them. And so as a consequence, I say this transgender movement is not of God. It's a satanically influenced movement that is not right. It's child abuse, in particular with children, and it's an attack on the image of God, whether it's children or adults. So I don't want to be construed that it's okay for adults. It's wrong for adults as well. It's fighting against what God has created and what God has ordained. Here's another one. The Bible clearly represents homosexuality as an abomination. And it pictures the relationship of a husband and wife as a picture of the relationship between Christ and his church. So when you see two men married to each other or two women married to each other, one, the Bible says it's an abomination, and it's also an attack on the picture of the relationship between Christ and his church. And therefore, my biblical worldview says they may love each other and they may be happy together. But the Bible says it's an abomination and an attack upon the biblical representation or presentation of Christ in the church. So those are just a number of controversial hot-button issues. Here's another one. Israel. The Bible basically tells us that God will bless those that bless Israel, curse those that curse Israel, tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And so we look at that and I say, there's people out there who claim to be Christians who are anti-Semitic, sometimes violently anti-Semitic. And how can that be if you have a biblical worldview? If you have a biblical worldview, you have to love Israel. You have to love the Jewish people because that's what the Bible teaches. So, you know, I hope that begins to get across the idea of a biblical worldview and how it affects you.
Yes, and I think, yes, I totally agree with that. And the next part of that, then, not that we're done finishing that part, because, you know, that's, you know, a lot of things. And we also can, you know, very easily put ourselves in a situation of we're not just, you know, pointing to someone else, but also saying, you know, like, you know, I know the Lord doesn't want us to retaliate, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a whole way of approaching, you know, you don't take out revenge, you know,
right,
on yourself. And, you know, it's in so many different ways that we can easily put ourselves in a place that I may be really angry and want to just do whatever, revenge sort of something, but the Lord says no. But, and he might in a certain situation, because we know there are places in the Bible that the Lord says go, you know, and do that. So we have to really listen to him. The next, that's the first part of the weekend, but the next part of it could be something like, then how does the biblical worldview drive you to your engagement in government specifically? What does the Bible say about government? We know all this about, you know, separation of church and state, which actually this wonderful course that I'm going through is called Biblical Citizenship, you know, makes it clear that, you know, that's not anywhere. People are saying that anywhere in the Constitution. Well, it's not in any of them at all. But in any event, you know, how you even referenced it just a little bit ago, that with the Johnson Act, that, you know, pastors are being told that, you know, you can't talk about this or that, or, you know, your tax status will be removed, et cetera, et cetera. And so if you have a biblical worldview, how should you engage as a pastor and then also interact with your congregation regarding that?
Well, and I do believe that the first way that we interact is to remind people that government is ordained of God.
There you go.
It's ordained of God. And I'm going to come back to one thing with that point. But before I do that, Paul was instructing Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He said this, starting in verse 1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. And I would simply ask the question, how can I pray or expect the people in my church to pray effectively for kings and for all that are in authority, if they don't know who they are, for one thing, and even if they do know who they are, if they don't know what they're about. And that's part of the problem, is sometimes, even though people might know who the leaders are, they really don't know what they're about. They don't know where they stand on the issues. They don't understand what motivates them. They just don't know anything about them. And how can I pray effectively for those in authority if I do not bother to see what they're doing and find out who they are? And then when it comes to issues, and I talked about a couple of issues, and they were admittedly hot button issues, the LGBTQ agenda, the transgender situation, abortion, things like that. How can I pray for my leaders, my elected officials, my government officials, government leaders? How can I pray effectively for them if I don't know where they stand on those issues?
Well, and if you don't know how you're supposed to stand on those issues.
Well, and that's the other part, too. Yeah.
So I don't know if it's the same, but that's absolutely correct. There are so many people who, you know, they would just be appalled if they knew about this last, you know, the whole on-demand, abortion on-demand, the trans on-demand, no parental permission. They would just be just livid beside themselves. And a lot of they don't even know. They don't even know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Do not know what happened. And even, you know, it's just, you're just such a good example of being involved yourself. And then, you know, we have good discussions of things, because you certainly, if you are going to know about government, you want to know about it accurately and not, you know, listening to, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You don't want to bring up things that aren't true, because they might be propaganda, and which is a real problem in our government. But it's, you know, you try to have your evidence, but it's so wonderful that God has given us his evidence, and that we have it, that we can, you know, refer to it all the time, carry it with us, whatever. And it is the foundation. It is the truth. And as long as we're following, but I think many, many pastors, they don't have any idea. Well, you can say more than I would on this one. Either they don't have any idea of what they should do as a pastor, or that they have been put in such a corner that they are allowing themselves to either be deceived willingly or cryptically. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So somebody's going to find a way to keep the lid on them. But I think they don't even know that that they should be out there in government, that it's expected that, you know, the higher standard as it goes up is, you know, like our president, as she said, Declaration of Independence, or Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and then the Lord himself. And so you know, it doesn't cap off at the president of our country. And I don't think many people even know that.
Yeah.
And it's so sad when you think that they, you know, the seminaries have been invaded, and then now that churches are being invaded, and people just, I guess what I'd say is a biblical worldview can be only academic, or it can be, although it really can't be that if you're really following it, but mm-hmm. it should be as academic as well as your behavior and how you engage.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's not seen very often. Fortunately, it is seen in our church. Thank you, dear Lord.
Yeah.
I think it's something that pastors don't. I don't. How many people do you interact with that they really understand? They're really on the page.
Yeah. Let me give you a statistic. I wrote an article about 2 years ago, actually almost exactly 2 years ago, called "A Shocking Statistic." Okay. And, mm-hmm. and in this article, I reference a Barna poll that did a survey of American pastors. Now, this is American pastors across the broad spectrum, from, you know, conservative to liberal and different denominations and all of that. And this is why I said this is a shocking statistic. The Barna survey found that only 60, or I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. The Barna study found that 62% of them do not have a biblical worldview. In other words, only about a third of America's pastors have a biblical worldview.
Right.
And that is a shocking statistic. It's no wonder that the average Christian does not have a biblical worldview. Instead, most of them have what's called a syncretic form of religious pluralism, which basically rejects the idea that there's one true religion and essentially accepts the idea that there's multiple paths to God. And so they reject Jesus' plain statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, and instead replace it with, well, if that's what works for you. But if somebody's a Muslim, if somebody's a Buddhist, if somebody is this or that or the other, that's what works for them. And they found that 94% of young parents, that's what they believe. And those are the ones that are teaching the children. And, of course, what kind of churches do they search out? Do they search out churches that say, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by him. Or do they search out churches that say, you know, whatever way, place you find truth, whatever area, whatever works for you is good. Well, unfortunately, that's where they're going. And
isn't that something, that higher percentage? And unfortunately, you know, a lot of people, it's attractive to them because the Bible is a high, you know, it's a high standard, but it's a clear standard and it's the best standard, but it's, you know, I mean, people don't want to be controlled. And well, unfortunately that, I think that's a lot of the issue.
And, we've reached the time that Paul warned Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where he said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Mm-hmm. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're seeing.
Yeah.
It's no wonder that people who have a biblical worldview are looked at as intolerant, narrow-minded, bigoted, and hateful and judgmental by, unfortunately, many Christians and pastors today.
Right. Yeah, and the thing is, it's you know, well, people don't want to, well, that's it. I mean, that's it. You don't just take a little bit of the Bible, I mean, and say you're taking it. You know, it's to have and to hold, and that's where the truth is. And I know that, you know, what can I say? It's, you're right. And I think one thing, too, is people are willing to be, they're willing to change their behavior when they're attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that's, you know, not an easy thing, but, you know, many, many times it is. People start attacking, then they just, you know, back down. And we know that's not going to, well, we need to represent Jesus well, I guess. And the more you know, you know, I mean, many people, they just don't know the Bible. I mean, they think that they know it. But the thing is, you have to do what it says.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't, I don't know, there's so many examples. But, you know.
Well, yeah, I think the solution, it's also there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I think this is the solution where Paul told Timothy, I charge thee therefore before the God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine.
Right.
And that's the first two verses of 2 Timothy chapter 4. And, you know, that's what America's pastors need to be doing. If we want the majority of young parents to be teaching their children these biblical principles in the home, America's pastors have got to be preaching the Word of God in the pulpits.
Yes, and, boy, amen, okay.
And that's where we're at. We lack pastors with a biblical worldview who are willing to preach the Word of God. And that's why the people in the churches don't have a biblical worldview, because they're not getting it at church. They're not going to get it from the world. So, yeah.
And I think, yes, and I think you're, I mean, we're going around so many good points here that I think that there, you can answer this too. I would say that there are more pastors who say they have a biblical worldview but are not living out a biblical worldview.
Mm-hmm.
That there are a very large group of those. They say they have a biblical worldview, but when you look at what they do and how they engage with other people, how they engage with their culture, it's like, how can you say you have a biblical worldview?
Mm-hmm.
This is what you're doing.
Yeah.
So,
And I know we're coming up on the break here.
Yeah.
I was looking through here and I found this Barna poll or research thing that reflects some of these things. And I do think it's instrumental. Somebody's interested in this. I mean, I certainly recommend my article, A Shocking Statistic. But you can do a search online for the Barna Institute, American Worldview Inventory 2021. That's the American Worldview Inventory 2021. And it was conducted, Dr. Barna and the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University. And there's a lot more in that. It gets into some of the details between the worldview of senior pastors versus youth pastors versus, you know, in large churches where you have essentially an executive pastor and things like that, which is very interesting. And there's links to some other things as well. But I would certainly encourage people to check that out, the American Worldview Inventory 2001 by the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University.
Yeah, and it's so interesting about that. But and kind of a related thing I wanted to mention is that, you know, I mean, a lot of times, it's like you have to think of the good questions. You know, in other words, there's some research that the questions, you know, aren't that great. In fact, I guess a lot of our government is paying a huge sums of money for people to make some really bizarre research that doesn't really make mm-hmm. sense. But, you know, like somebody who thought of this question, that's a really critical question to ask. And those are the And our children are not being taught reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want you to think of what questions you want answers to. You just want to learn this one little thing over here. But it is such an important thing to think about what are the good questions, and then mm-hmm. of course try to find the answers. But
yeah, well, I always tell people if somebody tells you not to ask questions, that ought to be a red flag.
That's right.
They don't mm-hmm. want you to think.
That's
and
right.
Too often, Christians have been accused of not wanting people to think. But a true Christian, I mean, the Bible says what? Come now, let us do what? Reason together.
Yep.
I tell people, God put something between your ears to do more and hold them apart. He wants us to think. He wants us to ask questions, not questions of a scoffing nature, but questions designed to learn and understand.
That's right, and those are the good questions to ask other people too. But based on what one thing you said just a little bit ago is that, and you know, like a good example when people say, "Oh, Christians are so judgmental and exclusive," and I said, "You know what? We're all excluded. Every mm-hmm. single one of us is excluded. However, some people decide to accept the free gift of grace from the Lord, and some people choose not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's your choice." We're all, in other words, you know, instead of just like the fist in your face kind of response, mm-hmm. I'm hoping that something like that will at least let people think a little bit.
Absolutely.
Clean the huff, but
yeah.
Yes, well, always great, all these discussions are always excellent.
I appreciate that, Cheryl. I know we're coming up on the break here, and we'll have to be moving on to the end of our caller as well. And plus, I wanted to mention some things about Memorial Day. But thank you for calling and bringing this up. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I wanted to.
Oh, go ahead. We got 20 seconds.
I wanted to thank you for your service to our country.
Well, thank you. Appreciate
and,
that.
And happy Memorial Day tomorrow. And tonight you're going to be going on a big trip.
Well, a short trip.
Okay. All right. So, thank you so much.
All right. Take care then. God bless, Cheryl. Thanks. Bless and stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll stick with us here this evening. And we've had a busy night tonight, and we've got another caller waiting patiently for us. But before we get there, I do want to mention, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to past programs there, and you can follow us there, livewithpastoral.com. Also, some links to some of our social media sites, and you get a number of things on there that don't make it onto the web page, or sometimes it's just easier to put something there first and then maybe later onto the web page. But if you do go to the web page, livewithpastoral.com, you can listen to past programs. You can listen to both hours of our Sunday night, the 10 o'clock hour and the 11 o'clock hour, as well as our Friday afternoon half-hour program that's on every Friday afternoon at 1:30 here on our home station, AM 1220 The Word in Cleveland, Ohio. All right, well, we're getting back to our program. We've got Martin, who's been patiently waiting for us tonight. Martin, welcome to the program this evening.
Hello. How are you doing, Pastor?
I'm doing well. Glad to have you tonight.
thank you for taking my call. What I really, there's only one question I wanted to ask you. Mm-hmm. It's always bugged me.
Yeah.
If Christ came after the order of Melchizedek.
Right.
Who is Melchizedek?
You know, that is one of those questions, and I don't want to so much waffle on it, but I want to take a firm stand of, I'm going to wait till I get to heaven to find out the exact answer to that, but there is good reason in the Bible to believe that Melchizedek was a pre-incarnate manifestation of Christ.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, there's very good reason. Now, having said that, I know that there's people who've made a good case that perhaps he was Shem, and without getting into all the details right there, but I think on the balance, if I had to fall to one side of that question tonight, I would fall to the side of it's a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ.
Okay.
But I'm not going to 100% say dogmatically that's what it is. That's where I'm going to wait till I get to heaven and find out for sure.
I guess we're all going to have to.
Yeah, because, you know, it's...
I just wondered.
No, but, you know, that's a good question in this sense. That represents what I call a spiritual speed bump. You ever been driving through a parking lot, like in the mall or something, a shopping center, and you hit a bump, and what do? You kind of hit the brakes and slow down. What was that?
Slow down.
It slows you down, and it makes you, what's happening? What am I doing here? And it gets your attention. And there are things like that in the Bible that we may not fully understand on this side of heaven, but they get our attention, they slow us down, and they make us start paying attention to things.
Yeah.
And that's one of them, I think. So.
Okay. All right. It's been nice talking to you. I've been listening to you all the time.
Thank you, Martin. I appreciate that. And that is a good question. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. And I appreciate keep listening and join us. A couple things I want to do here before I talk about Memorial Day. I do want to do a little update for our Florida listeners. As we've said before, we've been on Florida thanks to the blessing that we've had from somebody who made it possible for us to be on here the last couple of years in Florida. And we were blessed in the past several years ago to be on for a couple of years in Florida, and always appreciate that. Unfortunately for us, the end of the month here, I think this is our last live program there on Faith Talk Tampa. And we certainly hope that you'll check us out online, and you can certainly listen to all of our programs online. And our home station is AM 1220 The Word, which is WHKW Radio in Cleveland, Ohio. And you can go online, whkwradio.com, and find us there. Or if you have a cell phone, you can certainly go to your cell phone app, and you can look up AM 1220 The Word, and you can listen to the program there on your cell phone via the app. And I do that myself with the station here, as well as several other stations that I listen to programs on. Marvel of technology, the cell phone app. You know, if you'd have asked me 30 years ago, would I walk around with something where somebody could track me all day, every day? I'd have said, absolutely not. And now it's like, well, where'd my cell phone go? I don't want to go anywhere without it. If I accidentally leave it at home, I feel I got to turn around, go back and get it. You know, before cell phones, I would have never thought that, but there's so much you can do with it today. So check us out online. If you enjoy the program, we're a blessing to you. Follow us online at livewithpastoral.com is our webpage. You can follow us on the radio on Sunday nights from 10 till midnight, Friday afternoons from 1:30 to 2 o'clock at whkwradio.com, or you can download the AM 1220 The Word app on your cell phone and follow us that way, or listen to us that way. And, of course, it's got the other programs that are on the station as well, so let me encourage you to do that. Well, I just wanted to mention that before we run out of time at the end of the program, and so it's kind of melancholy. We're going to miss being on the air live in Tampa, but, again, we hope we've been a blessing, and pray for us, and just like we asked the last time that we were on, Maybe God will open the door and we'll be back again. So do pray for us. And thankfully, God has blessed. We've been able to enjoy some time and some fellowship with people from Florida. And continue to follow us online at livewithpastoral.com. Well, tomorrow is Memorial Day. And Memorial Day, earlier caller to the program was talking about, well, I don't feel right saying happy Memorial Day, because Memorial Day is a more solemn occasion. We think about it, and people forget it's not all about, cookouts having a party with the family and friends. There's something more somber with Memorial Day, and it should be remembered, and it should be celebrated. So I just want to kind of close out the program a little bit here tonight, talking a little bit about Memorial Day. And to set that off, one of the most iconic melodies, and as soon as it starts playing, you'll recognize it. And many people tomorrow are going to go out to their local community, and there's going to be a parade, most likely. And it'll probably go to the local cemetery, and people will gather, and veterans will gather, and there'll be flags marking the graves of those that have served in our country, and there'll be recognition of those who died in service to our country. And then somewhere in the course of the program, you're going to hear this. That's an iconic melody, isn't it? And many of you, no doubt, as you heard that start, instantly it sprung to your mind, remembering what that melody is all about. And of course, that's Taps, and it's very familiar. And there's a lot of history behind it, which I wasn't really going to get into so much tonight. But it is an iconic melody, and it's something that just kind of grips your attention. Very simple song, really. Very simple melody. And yet it gets your attention, and it causes you to pause. And it's just somber enough that it makes you and helps you to remember that Memorial Day is not, as I said earlier, just simply another Veterans Day. It's not simply another Armed Forces Day. But it's a day that we set aside, that we can think back on people who sacrificed their lives. Next week, on the 6th of June, in a week from this coming Wednesday, I believe it is the 80th anniversary of the D-Day invasion. And if you've ever read some of the accounts, many of the people, as the boats came in and opened, and the people began pouring out of the boats and wading ashore, many of them knew that when they got out of that boat, that the likelihood of them making it to the shore was alive was very slim. Many people died. And there are grave sites in Normandy and elsewhere of Americans that gave their lives in defense of freedom for us and for others around the world. And it wasn't by any means just World War II. And Memorial Day actually goes back to remembering those who died in the Civil War. People on both sides, North and the South, many people listening had family, ancestors, who served in the North and or the South. I know on both sides of my family, there were people who served in the North, people who served in the South. And many people died. and a time was set aside to remember them. And not just in the Civil War, but other wars that our country has been in, and certainly other wars that took place. And we think of World War I, which was called the Great War, the war to end all wars. And yet, a few years later, really, relatively speaking, a few decades later, there was another great war, World War II. And then after World War II, there was Korea, and there was Vietnam, and there's been other conflicts around the world. And people who died in peacetime in service to our country, ensuring our freedom, our liberty. And then, of course, in more recent years, since 2001, we've had the war on terror. We've had the operations in Iraq and in Afghanistan. And really, even before that, we had the first Gulf War. And it was Saddam Hussein pushing him out of Kuwait. And again and again and again, we've seen and known of people who've given their all, families that have sacrificed, where their loved ones have gone on. And people grow up never knowing who their father was, who their uncle was, hearing stories about family members that died. And Memorial Day is a day to remember them. You know, I'm an Air Force veteran. I appreciate being recognized as a veteran on Memorial Day. Don't get me wrong. But I didn't die in service to my country, but there are people who did. And that's who we're really supposed to concentrate our attention on. So if you have a moment tomorrow, whether it's at a family gathering or an opportunity to go to your community, Memorial Day parade or something, let me recommend that you take a few moments tomorrow before you dig into the burgers and things like that, and just take a few minutes to remember. You know, the Bible says, greater love hath no man than that he lay down his life for his friends. Well, there are people who, that's exactly what they did. They laid down their life, not just for their friends, their countrymen. And that's, John 15:13. I wanted to give you that verse there, reference. You can look that up. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And there are countless people that laid down their lives that we can enjoy the freedom that allowed me to go into the pulpit at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church this morning and preach the gospel without fear of the door being kicked in and arrested. I was able to go back to my church on Sunday evening, this evening, and again preach the Word of God and not worry about the door being kicked in and arrested because what we were doing was illegal. No, we have freedom because people sacrificed. You know, the old expression, all gave some gave all. You know, I didn't suffer any wartime wounds or anything like that. I served basically in peacetime during the Cold War, and I had my share of experiences and all that. But, hey, like anybody who's in the military, you understand, I like what somebody said, when you lift your hand and you take an oath to join the United States military, doesn't matter what branch it is, it could be the Air Force like I was, or Marines like my son's going into, or it could be the Army or the Navy or even the Coast Guard. And really, when you think about it, you take an oath where you're basically signing a blank check payable up to and including your very life. And so pray for these people. Pray for the families of those that are affected. You know, I'm going to, for Memorial Day, we have a sort of a tradition ourselves here in Ohio, in northeastern Ohio. I think it's one of the best kept, or, well, I shouldn't say best kept secrets, but it's a secret that a lot of people don't know about, more people should know about. It's a place called the Ohio Veterans Memorial Park, and it's south west of Akron, Ohio, on just off State Route 21 in the little village of Clinton, Ohio. And a lot of people go by on 21 and never notice the signs for the Ohio Veterans Memorial Park. And they're going to have some events there tomorrow. They are starting, I believe, at 8 o'clock, and they've got things going on throughout the day for Memorial Day and just commemorating. But one of the reasons I like to go down there for Memorial Day is they have this incredible wall. Some people call it the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall for those in Ohio that served in Vietnam, died in Vietnam. But it's more than just that, because the front side of the wall has the names of everybody in Ohio that died in service in the military. And then on the back side of the wall, and this is what makes it unique, it has everybody from Ohio that's known to have died all the way going back to when Ohio was just a territory, part of the Northwest Territories, going back to the French and Indian Wars, going back to the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812, and different things. And it lists the names of Buckeyes that have, and Buckeyes, for those of you who don't know, that's somebody from Ohio, that have died in service to our country. And it makes it actually the longest freestanding monument, I should say. It's the longest freestanding monument in the United States. And you say, well, I've been to the Vietnam Wall in Washington, D.C., and that is impressive. But the Vietnam in Washington, D.C. is held in place by the ground that's behind it, the backfill behind it. The memorial wall at the Ohio Veterans Memorial is held in place by its own weight. And here's another very interesting feature that it has. On the front side, they have a monument to Gold Star mothers. Of course, you know, Gold Star mother, that's somebody who lost a son or a daughter in service to their country. And on the back side, it has a Gold Star father. And both of them are gazing at the respective side of the wall. But here's what's amazing. One woman from Ohio died in the Vietnam War. It's the only one that they know about. Only one woman out of all the people from Ohio that died during Vietnam era. Only one woman. Ironically, without planning for it, when they designed the statue of the Gold Star Mom, they actually used this woman's mother as the model for the statue, okay? Because, after all, she's the only mother of a daughter that died in Vietnam. And when they put the statue up, and the way that it's designed, she's there holding the flag, the folded flag, which many of you no doubt have been in a ceremony at a funeral for a fallen veteran, where they folded the flag and presented it to the family. She's holding the folded flag in her arms, and she's gazing down at the wall. And this is the part that's amazing. I think God had a hand in this. When you follow her gaze to the wall, and this was unplanned, it's just the way it worked out, her gaze goes directly to the name of her daughter on the wall. I mean, it's like they didn't plan for it. It just worked out that way. I think God had a hand in that. But it really is amazing. And then, of course, there's other memorials around there in the Ohio Veteran Memorial Park. And let me encourage you, if you're in northeastern Ohio here on Memorial Day, go check it out if you don't have anything else that you're doing. If you can't go on Memorial Day, go some other time during the week. It's open all week long. You can find them online. Just do a search for the Ohio Memorial Park. OVMP.org is the website. And it's absolutely amazing. We have a guy from Richfield, where I'm from, where I pastor. And there's a bench that's there in his memory. He died in Afghanistan, I believe, and in the War on Terror, and just a lot of things like that, benches that were donated by various veteran groups and towns throughout Ohio. And I know this is Ohio-centric talking about this, but Ohio's not alone in this. I remember being down in Kentucky, where my wife is from, and seeing a veteran memorial in Kentucky. And there's elsewhere, I believe it's, if I'm not mistaken, it's Bedford, Virginia, that has the largest number of people who died in World War II from any one town. And they have a museum and a monument to memorialize those from Bedford, Virginia that died in World War II. And of course, Arlington Cemetery. And, you know, they put flags out. The old guard goes out and they put a flag at all the graves. Or how about if you got a chance to go to Gettysburg, where Lincoln gave the Gettysburg Address and spoke of those that sacrificed. Somewhere near you, whether you're in Ohio, whether you're in northeastern Ohio or southeastern Ohio or somewhere in between, or if you're in Florida, or if you're in Texas, or if you're wherever you're at, I'm sure there's a place somewhere nearby where you can go out and you can take your family and you can educate your kids and you can say, listen, cost of freedom. You want to know what it is? Take a look around. This is the cost of freedom. And so I certainly salute all those active military personnel that are out there, whatever branch you are in. You know, we make jokes between the branches. I make jokes with my son. He's going into the Marines, and I say, you know, I'm going to get you in some training here. You know, the Air Force always throws the Marines out of their airplanes, you know, because transport them somewhere, and they dive out parachute. I said, we'll go around a corner, and I said, unfasten your seatbelt. We can open the door. You can practice your tuck and roll. It's just joking, you know, inter-service rivalry and joking, and that's a healthy thing. But you know what? Doesn't matter what service you were in. You were willing to go. And Memorial Day is a great day to communicate those values to others. And then certainly to let them know those that sacrificed their all. And it's a tremendous opportunity. So let me encourage you tomorrow, do something, even if it's just for 5 minutes, to remember and to think about and to share. If you know a veteran, allow them to share some of their stories about what they experienced. If you know of a family member that died in service to their country, tell your family about them. It's a great day to stop and remember those things. And you know what? Veterans Day ought to remind you that there's one that gave his all for our freedom. That's the Lord Jesus Christ that sacrificed himself, gave his own life, shed his blood, that you and I can have freedom from sin. Not just freedom to preach and to teach and to say what you want, but freedom from sin, freedom from the punishment of sin. I hope you know Christ. Thanks. God bless. Happy Memorial Day.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.